Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. Look at us. We're back yet again for another rendition of Larry's Wisdom Hour. Not bad? Yeah, no, it's not a new title for the podcast, but it could be. It could be Larry's Wisdom Hour. And that laughter here in the background is my good friend, Dr. Lawrence Van Beek, everyone.
And Lynn mentioned that I should mention that my good friend here is Steve Morris, B.A.
You are so stretching right now. It's not funny.
B.A. in psychology and M.A. Well, actually an M.L.A., right? Or MLA.
Yes. Yeah. It's an MA in leadership, believe
it. It is an MA in leadership. It is an academic degree.
Yeah, almost academic degree would be the most appropriate way to say it. It's not quite executive MBA, but you could see it from there.
That's right. Didn't we call it MBA Light?
Yes. That what the one guy called it? Yes, MBA Light. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I have almost a real degree in leadership. Yeah. Thank you, Lynn, for bringing that out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. As we are two veterans of higher education institutions.
Oh, that we are.
Yes. Yes. It's very important to emphasize our credentials. Mostly because it says I'm so far out of my element here. Really, I'm just the IT talent. But anyway, Laird, that's not important what my role is. What's really important is what your role is. And we're going to talk about Acts 3, right?
Yeah, we are. We're going to talk about the lame beggar. I shouldn't laugh at that, should I? It's really quite serious. It just sounds like something that you would call.
my gosh. Oh, we're off to a glorious start already.
Oh, yeah.
So did you read that somewhere? I'm just curious.
Yeah. Well, that is the chapter title.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Yes, we are going to talk about Acts 3, and it does start off with a lame beggar healed. Is there any other introduction you'd like to give, or should we just jump in?
No, I'm going to point out something that's actually quite important.
Okay, yes, please do.
In this chapter, there's a miracle. And the miracle... Oh, thank you, Stephen.
In the Bible, there's miracles. Is this where you're going with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
The purpose of the miracle is exactly the same as the purpose of speaking in tongues in the last chapter. In the last chapter, they all spoke in tongues, and that people gathered to hear, to see what was going on, and then Peter preached a sermon. In this chapter, there's a miracle. People gather to see what's going on, and Peter preaches a sermon.
Nice. Okay, good save there. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome save.
I did have a reason for this.
No. You're completely fine. Don't forgive my mocking then. I shall mock no longer.
Well, actually, you can read all the way down to verse 9. And,
yeah.
And there's not a lot of names, so you should be all right.
And we're off, everyone. All right, so starting at verse 1, I'm going to read to verse 10 just to annoy him. And he can figure it out from there. But starting at verse 1, we're looking at the ESV again, and only because that's the version I loaded. All right. Hello? Hello?
Sorry about that. I forgot.
No,
that.
Don't worry about
it. I don't know how to turn my phone down there.
Just pull the plug out the back of it. That'll be fine. I threw it across the room. It's not working.
Oh, for crying out loud.
You can take the call if you want.
No, we'll listen, I don't want to.
We'll listen in. To. It'll be fun.
I don't want to talk to anybody. Now I turned the phone down. Now tomorrow I won't get any phone calls.
It'll be absolutely glorious.
Yeah, it'll work out really well.
I called you for an hour. That's
great. Well, in 4 minutes, that person's going to walk down and look in my window because that's what they do here.
So. Awesome. Did you get my email? Thank you for calling. Okay, starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms for those entering the temple. Being Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. That sounds like a song, by the way. Probably is. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
And when you read, I have not silver and gold, but what I do have, I thought of that movie Taken, but what I do have is a specific set of skills. I will find you. And I will. So, but you're right. It's a kid song, I think, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Yes. Walking and leaping and praising God.
Walking and leaping and praising God. So anyway, it's the ninth hour. It's not the ninth hour. Yeah, it is the ninth hour. It's the hour of prayer, the ninth hour.
You're all good.
Which is 9 hours after 6 o'clock in the morning, by the way. There's a lame man there, and I was going to get a map and talk to you about that. But they're at the beautiful gate. And so Jerusalem is divided up, and they have different gates, right? Mm-hmm. And one of them is called it's a gated city. Really, it's like a seniors complex in Florida. It's sort of what it's like. And so there's all these different gates, and you have to go through a gate to get into the city, and that's to protect you, in times of conflict, in times of war. So Peter's at the beautiful gate, and they're going to enter the temple, and seeing Peter and John, all of a sudden I'm thinking maybe that's the gate to the temple, but that's okay. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple. The man says to them, like, do you have anything for me? So there's beggars everywhere, right? They have been, from time immemorial, there have been beggars on the street asking for bread, and or a gift or some money or anything. It's very much like walking in Victoria or Vancouver today.
Right.
Okay. There are people there and they're asking for money. He looks up at Peter and he's looking for a gift. And then Peter says, I don't have any money. So, oddly, his first reaction would be to be really quite annoyed.
Yeah.
But then Peter says, what I have, I give to you. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Some people make a big deal that he holds out his right hand, but I don't think it makes any difference. The whole point is that God heals him, and he gets up. He's been lame, his whole life, and now he's able to walk and leap and praise God. Hmm. And that's the end of the first part, is Peter comes to him. Peter, the head of the church, is going to the temple. He comes to him, and Peter heals this guy.
Yeah. And it's not like, go ahead. No, you
this
go.
This is the first big miracle in the book of Acts.
Right. And I was going to say, it's not like Peter and John are announcing, hey, this is the guy that you saw at the gate. They're just walking in like nothing's happened.
Yeah, they barely even stop. They barely even pause because of this. Like they're just heading in, right? Yeah.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
No. We can read on the next section then.
You want me to pick it up, go 11 to 16?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So folks, picking up at verse 11. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety that we made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And that faith, and the faith that is through Jesus, has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all.
So, again, God performs a miracle, right?
Yep.
This man is healed, and he's jumping, and he's praising God. And all the people around know him. They know him as the beggar that's been sitting there for all those years. And they come in to see what's going on. And that sets up the opportunity for Peter, the head of the church, to preach another sermon. And Luke, again, it's probably a much, much longer sermon. And Luke cuts it down to what he thinks is important for the readers of the book of Acts. And again, remember the last time Peter said to them, you know, we're not drunk as you suppose. Why do you expect that? And then he preaches the sermon and then blames them. This time he says, why are you staring at us, right? As if it's through our power that we made him whole. It wasn't through our power. It was through God's power, through Jesus. And again he says, who you denied, the holy and righteous one, and you asked a murder to be granted to you. Like, you'd almost want to say to Peter, like, get over it, Peter. You know, like, yeah. we all know what we did. Yeah. But he doesn't. He says, look, and you know, the murder that was granted to them was
Barabbas, right?
Barabbas. I'm glad you said that, because I was going to go up with the wrong name, I'm sure.
It was Wally. No, it wasn't Wally. Wrong.
It was Jim the murderer. So Barabbas gets released to them, and Peter blames him for this. And then in verse 15, he says, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay?
So this time he doesn't do a free will, sovereignty type of thing. He just says, you killed him, God raised him, and we saw the whole thing. And don't forget, when Peter's saying this to him, Peter also denied Jesus.
Yep.
Like Peter's feeling this. Maybe that's why it's so much in his head when he's preaching these sermons.
Because
he's still feeling what he did himself.
Yeah.
When he said, I never knew him. Right?
That's a great point, Lair. That's a great point.
And so again, there's a miracle, there's a sermon, and then we go on with verse number 17.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, sorry, before we go, it's interesting that he goes right after, he makes that link all the way through from Old Testament to Jesus, right? Like,
yeah.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God of our fathers, and oh, by the way, you're his glorified servant, Jesus. All right. So picking it up at 17. Now, brothers, I know that you have acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed to you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel to those and those that came after them, also proclaim these days, you are sons of the prophets and the covenant, and of the covenant God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness.
Yeah, and this goes back to what you had just said about he brings from the Old Testament all the way up to Jesus. And he does it here again. He kind of backs off a little bit for the first time because he says, listen, I know you acted in ignorance, right? You didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
And your rulers didn't know what they were doing. But God foretold this, and he said that Christ would come. So therefore repent, and remember repent means to turn around. Not like the hokey pokey, but I don't know why that came to my mind, Steve. I apologize.
Wow. Hokey pokey.
So you repent that your sins may be blotted out. So he's telling them, look, you did do this. Like, don't ever forget that you did this. And don't forget, you remember there's a form of anti-Semitism that says they were Christ killers.
Right.
And the Jews are Christ killers. But Peter's a Jew himself, so he's not gonna do that. He's not This isn't anti-Semitism. He's just saying, look, we did kill him, guys. We did. And we were wrong, we were ignorant, and now he's made a way. And then he goes to Moses and he talks about the prophet. So like you said, from Old Testament to New, Moses said this prophet would come, and there he has come. And so now, turn away from your wickedness. And so there's the sermon. Now in this one, you have to go into chapter 4. Because we never forget, Stevie, when we're doing Bible reading, that chapter and verse is just a way to find stuff. It's not a way to break things down.
Right.
It's, you don't stop at the end of a chapter necessarily. Okay. And we're just going to read the first little piece of 4 here.
Okay, cool. So folks, pick it up with 4, verse 1, and down to end of verse 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000.
Yeah. And so remember we said that in the next, up to chapter 8, the next 4 chapters, there's going to be a series of problems. There's going to be struggles from outside of the church. They're going to solve that, and then the church is going to grow, and then there's going to be struggles inside the church. Well, this is the first one, and there's pressure coming from outside of the church. So the Sadducees come out, and at this point in time, remember the Jewish high council was made up of Sadducees and Pharisees, right? and the high priest was a Sadducee in these days, and the Sadducee come out, and they don't believe in the resurrection. So part of their anger is that they're proclaiming that Jesus was the resurrection of the, in Jesus there was the resurrection of the dead, and the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, and that makes them even more angry, right? Like it's very frustrating to not believe in something and then have somebody do the thing that you didn't believe in, right? And plus they're the rulers of the day. At this point in history, they still had the ear of Rome. The Pharisees had the ear of the people. The Sadducees had the ear of Rome. And so they're really upset. So they arrest Peter and John and hold them in prison. But it was verse number 4 that we had to read this to get to verse number 4, because it says, but those who had heard the word believed, and the number added were about 5,000. So the first sermon, he said there were about 3,000 added to the church. The miracle happened. Second sermon, 5,000 are added to the church, right? So you're sitting at about 8,000 believers. I mean, if they all tithe, you're making good money off this. But that's actually not what happened. It's not a business proposal. And that's pretty much all we need to say. So remember, in the beginning, in chapter 2, it's the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they're speaking in tongues, and that draws a crowd. In chapter 3, there's the miracle of healing the lame man. And then again, it draws a crowd. And it's the preaching of the word of God that brings people to Christ in both instances. And so in Acts, miracles and spiritual tongues and things like that are all draws in so that you can hear preaching.
Is it fair to say that that the miracles and the coming of the Holy Spirit is really just allowing, it's an opportunity to preach the gospel, nothing, it has no other, it doesn't have any more purpose than that, but it's a showing of God's power that allows people to receive the word, I guess is what I'm going with.
Because John is laying out his theory of the motion of the gospel, defense of Paul, whichever one of those you want to do,
yeah,
right? Therefore, when he's talking about miracles and talking about the Holy Spirit, he's talking about them in a very specific context. Mm. So as we said before, if you find miracles in other places in Scripture, it might have a completely different purpose.
Right.
The gifts of the Spirit are completely different in Romans and Ephesians and Corinthians and things.
Right.
But the other thing that's tough when you're dealing with a book like Acts is that you're pulling theology from narrative, which is very different than pulling theology from didactic, from teaching.
Yeah.
Narrative, you've got a story, and then you're trying to figure out, you know, what's he trying to teach us with this story?
Right.
Right. Where if it's actual teaching, you know, he might say something like, well, you should go to church on Sunday and you should, you know, partake in communion and you should pray. But here he just shows them doing that stuff and then you pull your theology out of it.
Right.
So go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So you don't want to downplay what's being said, but you don't want to make too much of what's being said, because that happens as well, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I was just thinking out loud that Paul's often very prescriptive in his letters, mm-hmm. but Luke here is, you know, like you said, he's telling narrative, and that makes sense.
Yeah, you're pulling your theology from a story.
Yep.
And, you know, you can sometimes do different things with stories. And people make arguments out of silence from stories as well, right?
So. Yep. Okay. Awesome. Okay. And folks, you might not hear it because I might figure out how to cut it out, but my mic was actually silent for up to 30 seconds here. So if you hear the Larry going, what? That's because I'm an idiot and I can't figure out how to press the button that I'm using. But anyway, but that was great. Thanks for leading us through chapter 3 and a little tiny sliver of chapter 4. A taste. A glimpse.
What is to come?
A splash, let's say. A taste of what's to come. Folks, we're going to take a week off, maybe. I'm having to travel, so. But if not, that's fine. We might be able to do it. And if not, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks so much for listening to the Apocalary Podcast, and we'll see you next time we're here. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.